everybody, and thank you for joining us for the Preceptor Podcast. I'm Sarah, and actually today I'm going to be interviewing, who's normally my co-host, Ryan, but and we're going to be talking a little bit about ACT. But to start with, Ryan, do you want to introduce yourself in the confines of this discussion and why you are the perfect person to interview for this?
Sure, absolutely. Yes. So I'm Ryan Aides, Director of Experiential Education at Manchester. The reason that I'm going to be talking about the ACT Pharmacy Collaborative and what it is because I'm Manchester's representative for the ACT Pharmacy Collaborative. And it really, its impact on community pharmacy. I have an active role in the Pharmacy Collaborative and really represent Manchester as a university in that capacity.
And really for this podcast, we're going to be focusing on the resources that are being shared with schools of pharmacy through the ACT Collaborative to support the efforts of students involving them in vaccinating patients with COVID-19 vaccines. But to start with, let's rewind a little bit. And can you tell us what is the ACT Collaborative and why should preceptors care about it?
Sure, absolutely. We're all pharmacists and we love our acronyms, right? So the ACT Pharmacy Collaborative, ACT stands for Academia CPESN Transformation Pharmacy Collaborative. CPESN stands for Community Pharmacy Enhanced Services Networks. So really what this is a group of independent pharmacies that have joined together and are working with academicians in pharmacy colleges to support the transformation of community-based pharmacy practice from a product-based care model to a community-based pharmacy care delivery model.
And if people want to know more about CPESN, we talked about that a few episodes back, so they just need to go back a few episodes and they can find out all they want to about that.
Absolutely, yeah. You can get into that with our previous episodes or just go to cpesn.com and you'll learn everything you want to know about what they do.
Perfect.
So colleges of pharmacy have really been engaged lately in providing appropriate didactic training and experiential training to students to really drive this change from a product-based care model and product-based reimbursement to really a healthcare delivery model. And so that's what we're really talking about here, are ensuring that our students are ready to act on their training to provide exemplary care to the communities they serve in a sustainable practice setting within the frame of community pharmacy.
And Ryan, this is great. Why should preceptors care about this though?
Yeah, that's a really good question because obviously not all of our preceptors are independent pharmacists who are running their own businesses, right? So preceptors who aren't in that frame should really care about this ACT Pharmacy Collaborative because the opportunities and responsibilities of pharmacy practice are really continuing to grow and change within the community pharmacy setting. And this program really aims to ensure pharmacy students are well prepared to meet the needs of that changing field. It also can really frame or provide a good frame of reference for you as a preceptor working in another practice setting to say, this is why you need to know what you're learning now. This is very applicable to where you're going if you're going into a community pharmacy practice.
So it's good for people in a hospital setting to know at least about and in community or ambulatory care settings to even maybe know a little bit more about.
Absolutely. And really to see all of the clinical services that community pharmacists can and are already conducting.
What ideas or resources that have been shared could our listeners take advantage of to get their students involved in the COVID vaccination efforts?
Sure. So the COVID-19 obviously has been a main focus for this group, just like the rest of the world over the past year or so. There's a couple of things that they've really been looking at with the ACT Pharmacy Collaborative. And one of them is really jumping into COVID-19 and immunization with COVID-19 through their Flip the Pharmacy training goals. So Flip the Pharmacy is a program designed to assist those independent pharmacies to transition from filling prescriptions for a moment into caring for patients over time. Again, so really transitioning that care model. While there are a number of ways to do this, Flip the Pharmacy has been focused on providing these pharmacies with resources that they need in order to care for their communities more holistically. Some specific things directly related to student involvement in COVID-19, especially related to immunization now that we have vaccines available, are really allowing students the opportunity to assist in a COVID-19 vaccine clinic for rotation credit. That's something we've done at Manchester, where we've encouraged students to conduct a portion of their API or IPPE experience to do COVID-19 vaccine administration. We've also been advised and encouraged to offer new rotations when applicable for students to focus on more public health and starting a new vaccination program, as well as to make sure that it's continuing to run smoothly. For those of you who may not be familiar or haven't really looked into COVID immunizations, this is something that's allowed for pharmacy interns to provide under the HHS PrEP Act. One of their amendments specifically states that pharmacy interns can provide COVID-19 immunizations as long as they've been trained to provide immunizations in general. So that's another way that we're really incorporating pharmacy students into this group. Other things that we've kind of seen within the ACT Pharmacy Collaborative, some patient handouts that students can use addressing common concerns and misconceptions related to the COVID-19 vaccine, and also establishing those billing processes and standard operating procedures for some of those pharmacies who maybe haven't run vaccine clinics or certainly haven't seen something of this magnitude in terms of vaccinations. Those are some resources that we have available for our students, preceptors, and faculty members.
And where can they go to get those resources?
Yeah, there's a number of different avenues. So if you want to learn more about ACT and some of the resources available there, you can go to actforpharmacy.com. If you want to learn more about CPESN, again, cpesn.com, that's really more the specific what they do for independent pharmacies. But then a really good resource and something that I would recommend for anybody interested in this information is definitely the Flip the Pharmacy website. So that is flipthepharmacy.com. Really good information there about not only COVID-19 and best practices surrounding that, but some other change opportunities to really increase community pharmacist engagement and patients' overall care.
I recently read on NPR that West Virginia is one of the best states at getting COVID vaccines out, and it's because they were doing it through small independent pharmacies and they weren't using a lot of really big chains. They're not, which big chains definitely have a place, but they've been really successful using independent pharmacies. Was Flip the Pharmacy involved in the West Virginia effort at all? Do you happen to know?
I would say almost assuredly, and I know CPESN was involved in that. So that network really was helpful in getting those community pharmacies and those independent pharmacies ready to administer the COVID vaccines. It's something that took a lot of work on their behalf as well, and a lot of coordination with the state. But most of the COVID-19 vaccination and ability to get the vaccine itself has been run through the state. We've actually seen in Indiana, we have a couple of independent pharmacies who were among the first to offer vaccines as well. In fact, I'll name drop, and Topeka Pharmacy was one of the first in our state that was an independent pharmacy providing COVID-19 immunizations, and a couple of others, Pillbox Pharmacy and Engelking RX, were also instrumental in rolling these out at independent pharmacies. And it was because they worked with the state Department of Health to really meet the requirements and demonstrate how they could serve their patients.
I think Topeka is a really good example too, just because there's not a big chain pharmacy up in that area and they serve such a specific group of patients that maybe wouldn't have access to this vaccine otherwise, but they have that connection and they understand the needs and desires and wishes is the wrong word, but they understand that subset, that patient niche.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of the commonalities with all three of those sites is they really serve a patient population who's not well served otherwise. Topeka is definitely in one of those medical service desert areas. There's not much around them, especially not within the 15 miles surrounding them. And so they really serve their community well and act as that post where people go to just for news in general, and certainly go to for health advice. So I think that's something that some of the larger pharmacies and even some of the hospitals struggle to reach those patients in more rural settings. And that's a great opportunity for these independent pharmacies to really serve their communities well.
With half of your patients either riding in horse and buggies or bicycles, you 15 miles is pretty significant.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Especially yes. in February.
Yeah, there's already enough barriers to vaccine administration among that population. So to provide one less is definitely a benefit.
Well, thank you so much, Ryan, for being with us. And I really appreciate you spending time to talk to us about this topic.
Happy to do it. I'd be here anyway. So definitely happy to talk about this topic.
Well, and thank you all for joining us for the Pharmacy Preceptor Podcast. We hope you have liked this podcast, and we would love to hear your feedback and how we can help this podcast to best serve you. Please feel free to submit your comments or questions to us. Thanks, everybody.